So She Talks is a collaboration with the Southwest Ohio Council for Higher Education. It's an effort to bring Miami Valley research and thinking into the public arena, a way to enlighten the world with local knowledge. This week, creating change agents through the liberal arts. Our speaker today is Mark Roosevelt, president of Antioch College.
At Antioch, we've had this incredible opportunity to rethink what it means to be a liberal arts school at this time in history. We closed. And we are reopening. And we didn't want to just use that to do everything the way we were doing it before. We wanted to pause and think, what do students need to be able to function effectively and have rich lives in this very fast-changing world? We believe that students should have both breadth of knowledge, meaning they should take courses across many different subject areas, the sciences, the social sciences, and the arts, but that they should also have respect for deep knowledge. So let me talk a little bit about some of the adaptations that we have made. One, we have an emphasis on language. We strongly encourage our students to reach intermediate oral proficiency in a second language. In this world, if you're going to be able to succeed, if we as a nation are going to be able to succeed, we're going to need more people who speak other languages. Just as an example, about 250 million Chinese learn English. Approximately 48,000 Americans learn Mandarin. So this gap between what Americans are doing to adapt to this changing world economy and what other folks are doing is pretty significant. So we place an emphasis on language. Secondly, we created these courses called Global Seminars. And we have six global seminars. They're focusing on some of the most critical problems that we all face, and that are threatening the quality of life across the world. Number one, food. We're located in the middle of America's heartland and food production area. Food is an ever-increasing issue. How is it raised? The quality of it? Are we going to be able to raise sufficient quantities to feed an ever-expanding population? Number two, water, another huge issue that everybody is facing to one degree or another and will become more severe in the years ahead. Number three, energy. How can we produce sufficient energy to heat and cool and to do what we need to do and what others are going to need to do as nations like China and India, with five times our population, become huge energy users? What is going to happen? What are going to be the climate effects? What are going to be the new forms of energy we might be able to produce to reduce those effects? Number four, public policy and how public policy relates to these other issues that are happening. Obviously, water, food, energy, these issues have to be addressed by governments and by public entities, and they need to understand how to work with the private sector on it. Number five, healthcare. An ever-increasing part of our budgets goes to paying for health care. The new legislation affects this enormously. But what is our theory about the future? What is our vision that is going to be able to have adequate health care delivered to folks as the population ages and as people's health care needs expand and the cost of that health care expands? And number six, education. In this world now, and especially in America, the people who are being left out in the greatest number are the undereducated. When we had a manufacturing sector, you could be a high school dropout or with a high school degree, get a decent job with decent wages, decent health benefits to bring up a family. Those jobs mostly are gone. Certainly we know that in this area of Ohio. And they're probably not coming back. They're almost definitely not coming back. So increasingly, what you can earn is a product of what you've learned. What adjustments have we made to that as a nation? 30% of Americans graduate from college. 30% of Americans graduated from college 30 years ago. We have not done anything to systemically increase the number of Americans graduating with degrees that enable them to compete in this new economy. What is the plan? So what we've done at Antioch is we've taken a core liberal arts program and we've sought to adapt it to the changing nature of the world that we face. But Antioch has never been just a traditional residential liberal arts college. And that is because probably the core Antiochian innovation that took place in the 1920s under the presidency of Arthur Morgan was cooperative education. So Antioch has always been offering its academic program with the theory that if students also get out in the world and do work during their college years, that that work experience will enhance their academic program and vice versa. In other words, if I'm in the workplace and I understand the need for the various learnings that are taking place on the college campus, that will make that much more immediate to me, and I will understand that learning better. So at Antioch, we are a year-round school. Students are in for all four seasons, and then they are out for at least four of their terms, we're on quarters, in jobs. These are paid jobs. These are jobs that might or might not connect to their academic major, but they are designed to be a part of a student's entire growth experience in college. So Antioch is a liberal arts residential school where students come to take traditional liberal arts courses, augmented now by an emphasis on global seminars that address these critical issues that the world is facing, language acquisition, in which most of our students will achieve intermediate oral proficiency, which is basically conversational speaking ability in another country, in a second language, and they will go out in the world and they will work for at least four quarters of their academic life. The goal here is to make students who can go out upon graduation and be effective in the world. We are not a pre-professional school. We are not just preparing students for careers. We believe that liberal arts offers also the ability for richness in life, the ability to understand that life is not just all about work. On the other hand, we also believe that a college education has to prepare students for the world in which they're entering. So we're seeking a balance and to achieve a balance between the richness of liberal arts and also preparing our students to be able to make change in the world and be effective in the world. Many young people are given to looking at the world in very black and white terms. One of the things that a liberal arts education should do is help students see gray. It should help students see that not everything is clear cut. And in the end, one of the amazing things about a liberal arts education is it should also be what we call a humility accelerator. We want people to understand that they could always know more and understand more about what is happening. When we look out at all of the problems we're going to leave to these young people to go out into the world and help us solve, we can learn about ourselves that perhaps we haven't been respectful enough, both of what you can know and what we don't know. Antioch has always been an incredibly ambitious place. We are a place in which we hope that students come to dwell in a learning community in which our goals are actually to produce a form of study and a form of thinking about the world in which students will go out and try to make effective change. Deep within the soul of this college is Horace Mann's quote, which I sometimes think is a little sharp-elbowed, but it's very much a part of both Antioch and Yellow Springs, where we're privileged to reside, in which he exhorted the graduates of his first class in the 1850s to be ashamed to die without winning some victory for humanity. That's a high aspiration, but it's the kind of aspiration that Antioch has always had and that we embrace as we build a new Antioch in a new era. Thanks for listening, and I hope you get a chance to visit us at Antioch College. Come to Yellow Springs. It's a unique place. A unique community.
Antioch College President Mark Roosevelt in this week's Soshi Talks.